So he wants wise part.
On Motzah Shabbos for his wife to wash up. Or for him to wash up, it doesn't have to be his wife. He wants to wash up on Motzah Shabbos. So it's 11 o'clock at night. If he turns the hot water cylinder on at 11 o'clock at night, it takes an hour to heat up or so. It takes a long time. It means he can't wash up before 12. So what he wants to do is, he wants to have set the hot water system to go on at 10 o'clock at night on Shabbos, while it's still Shabbos. The water's going to flare up, start heating up the cylinder, and all the water going to get heated up there. Is there a gzeira or shema yachata there? Is there a gzeira that he might interfere with the fire? So I found the Mishnah Berurah in Shi'in Chav Dalet, the Shad Sin actually, talks about a very similar case about washing up, using water washing up. But you must realize, up to now we've been talking about food. There's a gzeira, you are very worried about your food. So there's a gzeira shem yechata. Is there a gzeira shem yechata on washing up dishes as well? So the Mishnah Berurah brings down Eli Rabba in Shi'in Chav, end of Shi'in Chav Dalet, and he says, sorry, not Shi'in Chav Dalet, Reishman Dalet, sorry, Reishman Dalet. It's all connected to the bishop. You're not doing anything. It's being set by itself. You're not doing anything. So is there Shem Yechata? So the Mishnah Berurah, the Shad Sin brings down over here at the end. Reishon on Dalet. Very, very interesting what he says. Chayin also nitzah mayam tuchik deisha b'tanurim erev Shabbos. Ashecha avagad v'skav rachli yukach deira. Lama Yechata. So on that, the Shad Sin brings down over here. After Eli Rav Mitzad Loimer the Lahadocha Loichashin Shem Yechata, we're not worried when what comes to washing up. We're not worried about Shem Yechata. Kama Achloim Mitzigu Divra Amogen Avron LaAlocha, and they're machmi. Many Achloim are machmi about this, and they hold us a problem. So I don't know. I speak to Rav over Shabbos about this. I've got to get back to him again. It's interesting. I must say, in the Urkas Shabbos, he's making the Urkas Shabbos takes on our heating systems. All our heating systems, we haven't got this gazira. I don't know why. I'm not sure. I haven't got to the bottom of it. But it's an interesting point. I must say, it's a very interesting point. This thing over here. It looks like the world is zicha meiko with this thing. The minhag ha'olam is to be meiko. They do set their hot water systems and people heat up mikvahs, for example, on Shabbos morning with radiators and everything, and we put on our heatings and everything. We're not worried about all this. It looks like we're not going on this. Exactly why, I have to be, as Hashem, clarify a bit more. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak. Let's move on now to Hilchos Chazara of Shabbos. Very, very interesting halacha this. There's 2 points I want to talk about. First of all, there's 2 shlavim to this, yeah? Number one is taking a cold food from a fridge and reheating it on Shabbos. Shlav number 2 is what I want to speak about first, really, and that is a person is serving out soup on Friday night. And it's all nice and hot. They go to the table, they serve the soup out, and the Bar Shabbos is still a bit left over. So now they don't want to leave it on the table, because if you leave it on the table, it's going to cool down. By the time you have your soup, your schmooze and everything, it's going to cool down. So you want to put it back onto the fire to keep hot. How are you allowed to do that on Shabbos, yeah? That is what we're talking about. I'm just going to say there's 2 shlavim. Don't mix that one with the other. It's given halachas. One is obviously much more strict than the other one. A cold food to take out of a fridge and reheat on Shabbos is much stricter than when the food has been hot, it's been on a fire during when Shabbos came in, and you want to put it back on, continue it back. That's much easier. We're talking about part 2, yeah? Part 2 is you want to... Oh, a liquid is much more problematic as well, because a cold, it's quite right, a cold liquid is out of question whatever happens, yeah? Why? Oh, good thing you came to that, my friend. Good thing you came. You can put soup. So I'm not going to ask you what happens by you. I don't know if you have cold soup on it, if you want to have seconds. Ah, yes, a few conditions you need to have. But you know, there are ways of being able to return a pot back to the fire completely allowed on Shabbos. There are, though, a number of conditions. We're going to talk about this case over here. It's been on the fire for Shabbos. You're serving it. And it could be the same thing with Kegel as well. It could be a solid food, a liquid. Let's talk about Kegel. Someone takes out of the hot plate, tucks it off the hot plate, takes his Kegel, serves it. He wants to keep it piping hot. He wants to put it back on again on the hot plate or whatever it is. Can he do that? So you can do that with certain conditions. Yeah? So you're right, you can do it, but you have to know how to do it. So let's go from the beginning over here, yeah? It's always the best place to start. Find my notes here. See here. Right. So, why do Chazal ask this normally? Why do Chazal not allow a person just to take a pot off the fire and without any conditions whatsoever put it back on again? What's the problem? Why should there be a problem? So it's interesting. The Rishonim say two reasons. One is Mechzikim Avashal. Many Rishonim learn it's Mechzikim Avashal. To an onlooker, if someone sees someone else putting a pot on a flame on Shabbos, even though it's been there beforehand, it's been hot, he doesn't know all the history of what's going on. It looks very much like it that you're doing an act of Bishul on Shabbos. It looks like you're doing a normal stage of cooking on Shabbos. People don't realize. So in order to stop this, to thwart this idea, Chazal made certain conditions that the onlooker or you yourself will realize this is not the run of the mill. It's not like a do a normal act of cooking. It's a continuation from what was there beforehand. Rabbeinu Tam has got a chiddush actually. Rabbeinu Tam learns that the same chashash of Shehiyah you got by Chazor. A food that's been off the fire for a bit, let's say the soup, you want to serve it out, it's obviously cooled down a bit. It's very possible, says Rabbeinu Tam, when you put it back onto the fire, a person might stoke the fire up again to give it an extra boost because he wants the food to stay nice and hot. So the same gezeirah you got by Shehiyah, that Shemi Yechati, might interfere with the fire, Rabbeinu Tam says the same problem applies when you want to return a pot back to a fire. So again, there's two reasons. We're going to accommodate both these reasons. One is it's Mechzikim Avashal. A person takes a food which has been off the cooker, it's been on the table, you serve from it, and now you want to go along and put it back on the flame. To an onlooker, to yourself, it looks like I'm doing an act of cooking over here, really. It's got no connection to what was there beforehand. And therefore, it resembles very much cooking, and people can make mistakes, and they think that you can re-cook a food on Shabbos. So to stop that, Chazal made a number of conditions. Obviously, condition number one, which is elementary, is poshut, kipshutay, is the food must be fully cooked. If the food is not fully cooked, you've got a serious problem. Because when you've taken it off the flame, that food wasn't fully cooked, and now it's off the flame. So off the flame, no problem. But to put it back on the flame is mamish bishul min ha-Torah. So in order for Chazora to be allowed, this has to be allowed, the elementary rule is that the food must be fully cooked. I mean, it could be improving a cooking. We said this a few times already. Bishul doesn't mean to improve a cooking. Moshe, a person takes cholent off the flame. The food is fully edible. You would serve it out to people. You'd be quite happy for people to eat it. But it stews in its own juice and it tastes much better. It could be Shabbos morning, it tastes much nicer. But that's called mitstamet v'yokolo. That's not bishul. Bishul is a major improvement, so much so that a person wouldn't really eat it before it's this stage. If you'd be happy to serve it to people, most people would eat it at this stage. It could be it's improvable, but most people would eat it. That's called fully cooked. To return that to the fire is no problem whatsoever on Shabbos. So that is condition number one, that you need to have the food must be bushel called sorke. Condition number two, is what you mentioned before, is if it's a liquid, if the liquid is cooled down, according to the Ramah, that means it's less than you would eat it as a hot food. That means you've taken the soup off the flame, and it's been off for quite a while, and so much so that the liquid has cooled down drastically, so much so that you would not now eat this liquid now as a hot soup. It's lost its time of a hot soup. It's warm. It's not. You would eat it, but it's not a hot soup. That liquid that's cooled down may not be put back. If the liquid is still warm enough that you'd be enjoying it as a hot soup, then that's good enough to put it back. Sorry? I don't know if it depends on every person. It's a general feeling, Mr. Tom, what people do. I hear what you say, I don't know. Mr. Tom, it depends on generally, would people recognize that as a hot soup? Or would people not have it? Yeah, sorry. Yeah, the value we're talking about holding on to. The value we're talking about condition number two is without holding on to it. So condition number two is that the food must be hot. There's an interesting question now about a solid, actually. I didn't realize this. Lamarche, someone takes some, I don't know, kegel off the cooker. And it's off for a long time. And now it's cooled down. Less than yesterday's point. Now, can you put that back? There's no problem with bishul, because it was a solid, there's no problem with bishul. But many achronim take on, and Moshe says it clearly, that even so, in order for chazor to be permitted, there must be still an element of heat on that item, even by a solid. That means the solid must be also, the kegel is hot enough that you would serve it to people who would enjoy the taste as a hot kegel. It's not cold. Even though there's no problem with bishul over here, there's a new problem that it looks like it's cut off. If it's cooled down to such a level where it's less than the heat that you would really enjoy as a hot kegel, then you've lost that miler and it's no good to put back. Okay? That's condition number two. So the value said it has to be fully cooked, poshut. Condition number two is, it must be still warm enough, the food, that it allows a person to enjoy that heat. Number two. Yeah, but I think it's just general people. You're right. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if it looks at every individual. That's what he was asking before. I don't think it depends on the individual. It says, what would the person... if someone went to a simcha, for example, and it served kugel, which was cold, it's just very slightly warm, they wouldn't enjoy it. You go to a buffet or whatever, you wouldn't enjoy it. It's lost its chashivas. The point is, it's still hot enough for people to enjoy as a hot food. That's how I think the emotion might do it. It has to be still enjoyable as a hot food.
Same
cold with the same stuff. Yeah. In liquid, is a form of bishel. We are machmir for this. If it's cooled down, but you have that less than that stage, to put it back in the istor bishel. This is a problem now, chazor. We're not talking about bishel, because once the solid food's been cooked, even if it's freezing cold, there's no istor to put it back. But in regards to chazorah, many achroyim take on that at least for chazorah, both foods, the solid and the liquid, have to be at a stage where there's an enjoyment of the heat. If the enjoyment of the heat is gone, then it's considered cut off from its original cooking, and therefore you cannot put it back. Condition number two. Condition number three is that you must have a blech on the fire. It must be gora for cotton. There must be something on the fire to stop it, that people realize the abnormal way of cooking. No one, no normal person, would cook with a blech on the fire. If a person wants to cook, he cooks with an open flame. The fact that this person is putting a blech down shows us he's not interested in doing an act of cooking, and therefore you're not going to make it confused. You're not going to get confused with making a mistake. Normally, they're allowed to cook. This blech is a clear reminder that a person will not cook in this way. A hot plate is interesting over here with a hot plate. So on a hot plate, that's what I wrote about a hot plate over here, the hot plate, and a non-adjustable hot plate, there's no gzeira or shemi yachata, and also a normal hot plate, which has not got settings on, most people don't cook on. So there's no messing of ashes. Now again, I want to make this clear, because this is where people are making many mistakes over here. We are talking about the food is still hot, yeah? We're talking about the food is hot, fully cooked, and you want to return it. So I'm telling you, on a hot plate, which has only got one setting, there you don't need a blech for this. Because there's no shema yechata, because you can't interfere with it. There's only one setting. You can't switch it on, you can't adjust the heat. And there's no mesikim of ashlo on this hot plate, because most people wouldn't cook on such a hot plate, so they've got one setting on. When the hot plate's got different settings, I've not come across such a hot plate actually, but they say this, has anyone come across a hot plate? Hot plate, no, hot plate is different. No, you can't adjust it. I'm talking about a hot plate where you can adjust. I don't know, someone says that you can't get these things. It looks like in the posture where they speak about these hot plates. I haven't come across such hot plates. But it looks like they're hot plates where you can get different settings on. No, no one's come across that. Never seen it. I don't know. What?
Shemi
Chata,
bro. Always
Shemi Chata, what?
Shemi
Chata.
It might stir
itself. Shemi Chata, that's not Shemi Chata, my friend. Shemi, that's Shemi Magus. That's a new Chashash. We're not Chosh for that. We are Chosh to interfere with the fire.
But today, to interfere with the fire is not with the gas, it's with the knobs.
But there's no knob, my friend, there. I'm telling you, it's got no.
I'm talking about gas,
so that's, you're going right back to Shia. Why would
I?
I am going back. There's nothing wrong with going back. It's good. Chazor is always good. Yeah.
You can't interview with the
But my friend, I want to ask you a question. I hear it's a very good question when you ask it. But I want to ask you a question. In the times of Chazal, did they tell you to hide the poker? The poker is the equivalent of a knob, really. That stokes the fire. They never told you to do that. Chazal would never worry about you interfering with the knob or the poker. You might do with a poker, but they were worried about the fire itself. They said, once you make a hecker on the fire, that stops you doing anything. So if you put something on the fire, that stops its kashash. Back to office. A hot plate, which has got no settings on it, then you do not need gruf or ketom in this condition. You still need the food so far to be boiled, it needs to be fully cooked. You still need condition number two, that the food is still hot to put back on. But you don't need a blech on a hot plate, which is got no settings on it, and there's nothing you can do with it. If you have a hot plate which is adjustable, it's got settings on it, then you've got a problem. I think the same thing applies to a crock pot. I don't know about this either. I've never seen a crock pot with only one setting, but apparently there are crock pots with only one setting. That'd be the same thing. Maybe, now I'm just thinking maybe not, because a crock pot is a way to cook in. So that's much worse, a crock pot, actually. A crock pot's worse. A hot plate normally is not a derech. If it's got settings on it, that's much worse. Okay? Those three conditions are elementary. So again, the three conditions that you need is the food's fully cooked, the food must still be warm to a certain degree, and generally you need to have a blech on in order to make it mutter. Those three conditions are mamish basics. Then Chazal added another two conditions as well. Yeah. One is that when a person takes the pot off, the soup off, he should have in mind that he's going to return it. Again, what's the idea of that? The idea of this is that it's a continuation of the previous cooking. So there's no Shemir Chata because it's still continued the first cooking, really. And there's no Mexican Mavashal because it looks like it's still a continuation. That's true. The onlooker doesn't help for that. For the onlooker, it must be for yourself, though. For yourself it helps. For yourself. It's interesting, you're quite right. For the onlooker, the das doesn't help. The chayre for yourself it helps, though. At least for yourself.
Why do you need that?
The das is to make it. What?
You do what you've got to do.
No, I understand. For yourself, dicha than mine, the das makes a continuation of the first cooking. The das makes that when I take it off and I want to put it back on again, it's a continuation of the first cooking. It's not like a new cooking. Yeah, this is still a continuation. The whole thought is that we want to make it a hemshik of the first bishul. We don't want to stop it. So if you have das to put it on, it's like it's still there. That's very good. I understand that for yourself. This is the chiddush over here. What does das mean, though? This is the interesting das. Does das mean that I have to have in mind, let's say I have in mind the fate, there's two ways of learning das over here. Let me see what I wrote over here. let's say I take it off, I've got no das at all. Do I have to have das to put it back on, or do I have to have das to leave it off? I have to explain to you what I mean. When I take it off, you know, I heard once someone came along to Rosh Yeshiva, once I heard someone give me a shiur once. He came along to his Rosh Yeshiva, he hadn't been there for a long time, been another yeshiva. He said to the Rosh Yeshiva, do you mind if I say a shtickle Torah? He said, no, it's a pleasure, sit down, let's start off. She says, in the Rambam shteit hazoi, in the Gemara shteit hazoi, lecheret sestira. Kavaldi gechiris, Rosh Yeshiva said. So the Bocha turned to Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbe, he said, the Vailev's not said anything. I can't understand. What's the big chiddush? What I said? I think I heard you say the word you think. That's already a chiddush. Most people don't bother thinking. That's already a chiddush. So here, the morning of all, actually. Here is very interesting over here. A person takes off a pot off the fire. Now, very often, he doesn't even know what he's doing. He's taking a pot off the fire. Does he know he wants to put it back on again? This is the big shayla over here. Most poskim take on that das means as long as you didn't have the fairish of das not to put it back on. That means I have in mind to take it off and not put it back on. That's called doubt, which is no good. If a person has just stunned, he doesn't think what he's doing, then that's okay still. That's not a chisorin this tonight. Okay? So that's the other condition, das. And then there's one more condition that Chazal added to make it still a continuation, and that is when a person takes the pot off the fire, he mustn't let go of the pot. He has to hold the pot the whole time. Most posts can hold, it doesn't mean you have to hold it in the air. It means, I can put it down on the table, but my hand is still on the handle. I'm still holding it. I've never let go of the pot.
Is that both or either?
What's both or either?
Both. Das and
the... Yeah, you need all these conditions. You need das, and you need to hold the pot as well. There's a few conditions. But kids, I'm going to sum up again what we said. But you're going to see that in halacha, you don't need all these conditions. If you missed out some of these conditions, it might be okay. The violin, we're talking about lechatchila. Lechatchila, you need five conditions. Condition number one is the food is pretty good. Condition number two is that it's still warm, the food. Condition number three is it's a blech. Condition number four is that you have to have das lechatchila, which means that you must have a fair chance not to put it back. At number five is condition, you must hold it still, and you must never let go of it. You must be holding it. So when the woman wants to serve the soup at the table, so she's holding onto the pot, and she takes the lid off, she serves it. The chayra, she has to hold it herself. The husband can take over there. I mean, that bit I don't mind doing, holding the plate. I don't mind that bit you can do. If someone else takes over, they hold the handle, and then the woman serves out. That's also good, yeah? That's also good. As long as someone's holding on, that's good enough.
Okay, wait. I'm not going to take it off. I'm not thinking about whether I'm going to put it back on again.
Maybe when you took it off you didn't think. But now you come to the table and your wife tells